This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for tuning in to Ringgit and Sense. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me, Brian Fernandez. And we have an investment theme to today's episode. And today we welcome back to the program, Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer of CIMB Principal. Good morning, Patrick, and welcome back to the program.
Thanks very much, guys.
All right, let's talk investing into China this morning. Now, CIMB Principal Asset Management is the first asset management company in Malaysia to obtain the Renminbi Qualified Foreign Institutional Investor, or RQF for short. So, Patrick, given the heightened concerns of a potential trade war between the US and China, is this a good time to invest in China?
In short, absolutely. We are very bullish on China, as I've said before. Firstly, we think that valuations are getting more compelling. Secondly, I think this kind of heightened trade war gives us opportunity to buy into very good quality, high growth companies, especially in the China A-share market, which we currently have access to the RQF license, which we obtained about 2 years ago. And more importantly, I think as well, is to address the issue of growth, for example. We're now seeing a more stable growth in China. The deleveraging cycle that has happened over the last few years is now starting to pan out. Political systems are now more stable. And generally speaking, we think that the growth will continue to be growing at a very more stable place going forward.
Now, Patrick, could you give us an understanding really of what are the differences between the A share, B share, and also the H shares in the China market?
Right, good question. The H share market typically has been the market which a lot of foreign investors have access to into the Chinese market. So it's traded on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. But the A-share and the B-share market, typically the A-share market, is the market where onshore Chinese investors are allowed to invest in. And also, recently through the QF, as well as the revised QF, which is now called the RQF, which CIMB Principal has a license to, now can now invest directly on the onshore market. Now, when you think about the A-share market, for example, what's the difference between the A-share market and the H-share market? The A-share market, is currently close to about $9 trillion US dollars in size. The A-share market is close to about $900 billion in size.
Right? Because it's a 10% essentially.
So it's a huge market. The second point is, people don't realize this, is that the A-share market gives you access to a lot of very interesting growth companies of the future. Think about the Ubers of China, DD.com. Think about SenseTime, the largest AI company in China.
The company that just got an investment round, initial investment round.
Yeah,
I think
Alibaba just signed a check to them recently.
And so did Temasek Holdings.
Yes, absolutely, right? And then you've got, been announced recently as well, Meituan, for example, which is basically an app, which is a lifestyle app, which is a Groupon of China, for example. Right? That's going to go to IPO in Hong Kong, and people are now starting to talk about dual listings, both on the A share as a H share. So that is where we are excited about, because these are the kind of new age companies that we want to be invested in.
But Patrick, you've said before in the show that you're very bullish on China, but a lot of Malaysian investors have really been burnt by Chinese stocks. So how would you balance your bullishness and the fact that our local investors, especially on the Bursa Malaysia, who have invested in Chinese stocks, have actually had a bad experience?
Not necessarily. If you think about what you really invested in the H-share market last year, you're up by 35% minimum. MSCI China was up, one of the best stock markets in China. Now, when you think about the A-share, nobody has really gotten into access into the A-share yet. That's why we're excited, because the PE, or the price-to-earnings ratio of the typical Shanghai Composite Index stock in the last 3 years was about 50 times, right? Today, it's mid-teens. So the A-share component that we're investing in, the small-cap and mid-cap areas, for example, are trading at mid-teens, 15 times PE, with a growth of about 18%, right? Going to 2019, for example, right? With all these new listings that we talk about and so forth, these are going to be your 10 cents of this world.
So the valuations, therefore, in your opinion, are not rich?
No. I think they're reasonable.
Historically is one thing, but then you expect that same performance to be replicated in the coming years?
I believe so. We think at the end of the day, you know, markets are still obviously very volatile. But if you take a very long-term view, right, and when markets have come up so much, especially on the AHA market, this is a great opportunity.
All right. So just to make it clear for our listeners right now, especially the retail investors, so if they invest with you, they have access to A, B, and H shares, correct?
A and H.
A and H.
But with this particular new fund that we've just launched, it gives you direct access to the AHA market, and no other asset management company in Malaysia can offer you a direct access with a dedicated AHA fund, for example.
All right. So now you dropped some names earlier. Talk broadly about the sectors that they're involved in. Which sectors are you keeping an eye on?
Well, in our portfolios today, when we talk about the Asia Pacific portfolios that we have, we started owning some of the A shares beginning of 2017. We basically used the Connect, which is the northbound Connect through Shenzhen Connect, and we started investing in about 4 to 5 companies. Right, most of these companies are technology driven. Most of these companies are also automation companies, robotic companies, AI companies. You know, it could be very strong sensor vision companies, for example. I can't name you names, but you know what these companies are, right? Basically, these are high growth companies.
So essentially, you're betting on China's future because one of our market analysts, in fact, mentioned that China has basically the largest amount of patents being filed now every year.
Absolutely.
All right, what about, say, the Forex risks then? Because, you know, recently we have seen news that the PBOC, that's China Central Bank, is perhaps toying with another round of devaluation in the yuan. So given that these A shares are denominated in the local currency, what kind of risks would that present to retail investors here in Malaysia?
Typically, if you think about the correlation between the Chinese renminbi and Malaysia, it is quite correlated, okay? Because the dollar movement is more important than the Chinese renminbi. What has happened over the last 12 to 18 months is that the perception of the devaluation has started to diminish. Why? Because essentially, the PBOC is getting better handle of the economy. That's number one. Well, how are they doing this? Because they have been deleveraging. And when they have been deleveraging more, it gives more confidence to foreign investors to now participate into renminbi assets. To give you an example, the A share market in next couple of months will be included under the MSCI EM. So a lot of foreign investors like ourselves are now starting to get more and more excited about the A share market. I just came from a conference a couple of months ago, and basically you can see the appetite on the A share market for foreign investors in the prelude to this inclusion to the MSCI EM, for example.
Right. Do you have products that track these kind of indices?
Yes, this new fund that we launched recently, that's particularly just on the CSI 500, which is benchmark against the small mid-cap index of the Shanghai Composite.
Are you putting your money also in other sectors besides tech in China?
On the A-share market, yes, we have other companies as well. You know, there are certain fintech companies out there, right? You know, and financial is going to be listed soon. So that's something we want to look at, for example. There are also Ping An Financials, for example, which is basically quite interesting, right? And so these are the kind of companies which are also related in some ways, not in the old economy, but also in some ways in the new economy sectors as well.
Patrick, what about consumer plays? Because that's also the growth engine for the Chinese economy moving forward. Are you invested in that sector as well?
Yeah, those are companies which are mostly in consumer staples, in consumer discretionary and so forth. Those are also listed already on the H-share. We have participated in those, all right? But what we're talking about now on the A-share market itself are the new growth areas of the fintechs, the AIs, and automatics and robotics that we mentioned early on.
Okay, now what about on the H-shares side?
Yeah.
Man, that's a bit of a mouthful, eh? H-shares side.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Go for it. H-shares.
The H-shares, you know, we've been invested in that for the last more than 10 years on the H-share, right? Our experience in the H-share is we basically buy a lot of large cap companies. They could be in the financial sector, the consumer discretionary and staples, and as well as in the industrials, right?
And the H-share is essentially concentrated in the sort of China's old economy sectors. Am I correct?
Not necessarily. There are still pockets of opportunity for you in technology. For example, you know, Tencent is one of the largest cap stock in the H share, for example. Mm. All right, and that's it's a bellwether. It used to be a small mid-cap company. Today, it's a very large multi-billion-dollar company. And so what we're saying here at the end of the day is that if you invest in these kind of small mid-cap companies at an early stage and you follow a process that we do, then you'll be able to benefit from what I call a 10-cent moment.
10-cent moment being...
the 10-bagger moment.
10-bagger.
Got it. Okay, so, you know, with retail investors, those who are listening right now, you know, is the idea that this is very much a domestic play? In other words, these counters that you highlight is very much focused on the domestic growth story in China, or are there counters that have, you know, exposure to the global growth story? Because right now, we do find ourselves in a synchronized global growth scenario. There's this Goldilocks moment going on right now, notwithstanding the threat of a trade war, but are there specific counters that you're excited about in terms of the global exposure?
Yeah, obviously, you know, but back to the whole structure of the A-share market, if you were to compare against the H-share is dominated predominantly by a lot of financial companies as well as energy companies and consumer staples. If you look at the A-share market, for example, especially on the Shanghai Comp, for example, right, it's more diversified. About 25% of it is now tech, for example, right? But also another 20% of it is on consumers. That is really a representative of what I call the new age China. China used to be a very more export-oriented country. It has now evolved to now being a more diversified consumer-driven economy driven by technology. Think about the world whereby, you know, the WeChats of this world, the Alibabas of this world dominate your lives every single day, right? You only use a WeChat and Alipay, for example, in every facet of life today. That's the new economy that we're talking about in China, for example, and that's how we invest.
All right, well, Patrick, you've certainly painted a very bullish picture on the supply side. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about the demand side, talk about the trends you're seeing among your customer base here in Malaysia. I'm speaking to Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer of CIMB Principal. I'm Tan Chung Han with Brian Fernandez. This is Ringgit and Sense. Stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Sense. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Brian Fernandez, and we have in the studio Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer of CIMB Principal. Now, Patrick, in the first half, we spoke about the opportunities that are available in the Chinese equities space. Now, what about here in Malaysia then? How are you facilitating the demand onshore here in Malaysia for the supply that's over there in China?
Well, we just launched, as I said earlier on, a RQ fee fund, which is gives retail investors exposure into the CSI 500, which is the Shanghai Composite Small Cap Index. This is a very interesting product that we just launched. It gives retail clients access into high growth companies, into the new age economies that we talked about earlier on. You know, for a very small sum of about 1,000 ringgit, for example, you can now invest onshore into the one of the largest market or second largest market in the world.
So yeah. Is this an EPF approved investment?
No, it's not yet.
Okay. What do you think, you know, there's been challenges in the Malaysian retail market. What do you think in terms of young investors coming into the retail market in Malaysia? Now, if you remember the go-go days of the 90s where everybody and his uncle was basically in the stock market, today, that's not the case. What do you think the reason is, Patrick, for this?
It could be a combination of a few factors, but, you know, statistically, if you look at the demographics of the investors that we have recognized, right, a lot of investors below the age of 30 still keep a lot of their money in fixed income-related products. And maybe some of it is into, you know, some unit trust investments, for example. But the bulk of the major investors are above the age of 30. So what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, to encourage young retail customers to now start to put more money to work in an environment over the long term that you can achieve long-term returns. What kind of long-term returns are we talking about, right? So if you have a global diversified portfolio today in your portfolio, over the last 5 years, you'll be up by close to, you know, 13.8%, right? Versus a Malaysian market, which gives you about close to about 5 to 6%, for example, right? But to put things in perspective, over the last 20 years, you've invested in a typical portfolio in Malaysia, for example, just on a benchmark return basis, right? You'll be up by close to about 8.8%. Mm. And that it was since 1998, for example, right? After the crash. And we had two crashes, by the way.
Yes.
Right? So my point here is that if you dollar cost average over the long term, and you invest consistently, even at a very, very small amount. And I want to emphasize this again, that stock investments is not just for the rich, it is also for the masses.
Right.
And you can do this through funds like ourselves, you know.
So given the relative apprehension when it comes to younger investors here in Malaysia, like you mentioned earlier, is that affecting the take-up rate of the product you just launched? Are you seeing that manifest itself as well?
I don't think so. I mean, we were getting a lot more interest on the retail side. In fact, you know, we've done better than we expected. And so I think the momentum continues. Whether or not we haven't really dissected in terms of the demographics yet, but I would imagine that if you're excited about technology, you're excited about all these new age stuff, these are the kind of segments which I think you can identify more to the younger segment of the demographics that we talked about.
But when it comes to equities, look, it's a pretty traditional asset class, right? Right now, you've got all kinds of various investment mediums like P2P, equity crowdfunding, you know. So how do you make the case for equities given the plethora of investment options available to young retail investors today?
Well, when you talk about P2P and so forth, right? I mean, the sum that we're talking about is much larger than a thousand ringgit, for example.
Right? Well, it could be that they now have smaller bite sizes. Some of the P2P providers, for example, you can invest
50 ringgit
yeah, even. Okay. So one of the key things I think that is in investors' minds and young people in particular, and back to Hans' question is, okay, I've got a finite sum of money. Where do I put my money to work? How can I spread my risks around so that I won't lose, you know, my shirt in investments?
You touched on a very interesting point. Diversification is key. A process is key. And if you don't know enough about investments, you should then seek advice with a professional investor like ourselves, who can then invest into a very diversified portfolio. Because if you were to invest into a P2P, what makes you think that those businesses will exist, right? We don't know. The risks are very, very high. For every dollar that you put in there, of course, your returns could be high, but the risks are much higher. But if you invest in a particular fund, for example, right, whether it's a Malaysian-based fund or a regional-based fund or A-share-based fund or a global-based fund, you know at the end of the day, it has a process behind it. It has basically a certain amount of returns that we expect out of it over the long term. And therefore, you then have a certain outcome at the end of the day.
So how much education are you taking on in order to educate the masses, so to speak, here in Malaysia? Because, you know, from the discussions that we have had via the morning run, there is this relative lack of familiarity with, say, investing in equities. Like you said, they are more accustomed to just, say, opening an FD and just leave it there. Property is something you can see, as opposed to A or H shares over there in China, right? So how much educational efforts have you taken on?
We have, you know, basically have gone through many channels of in advertising or promoting our funds, for example, through the multimedia in terms of e-channels and so forth.
Well, what about the process, though?
The process, obviously, basically we have engaged, through the banks itself, through the retail banks. So, for example, in CIMB Bank, for example, we're now trying to engage more with the consumer retail space, for example, through either the agency force as well as through the RMs, who then decimate it through e-channels, for example. And so that becomes, instead of me talking through, for example, the radio, for example, right, I can now create a video, which I'm doing tomorrow, and then I can decimate those videos across multi-channels and disseminate all those ideas that I talk about in terms of markets, currency risk, and so forth, right? And that becomes a very, very powerful tool because people like to watch video more than listen to people.
So, Patrick, then...
Hey, I kind of felt offended by that.
Yeah.
what people want to listen, actually.
Yeah. All right,
listen. They're watching videos.
Listen.
People want to listen. But, Patrick, for a young person, so how much of my cash that I have that I'm saving, should I really allocate to an investment like yours, like what you're proposing in terms of a fund or unit trust, insurance? What sort of asset allocation strategy would you recommend?
I suppose it's very basic portfolio theory, right? If you're young, you should take more risk, right? And so because your duration of your investment is longer, right? So let's say you're below the age of 30. What you should be doing is dollar cost every month, put 1,000 ringgit or something, right? And invest in a portfolio of funds. It could be one fund in Malaysia or in offshore. and maybe put in some money in terms of insurance, for example, right? And it depends on also your risk profile. But if I am below a 30-year-old age, I will be buying an offshore fund, right? Because even though the risks are higher, the returns are obviously going to be much higher as well over the longer term. And you can spread out that risk across dollar cost averaging over many, many periods of the year as well, right? So as you invest 12,000 ringgit, for example, over 1,000 per month, you can then accumulate over 30 years or 20 years quite a lumpy sum of money if assuming that returns continue where it is today.
So Patrick, an older person like myself who's 48 years old, is there opportunities then, do you see, for from an asset allocation strategy? What should I be putting in terms of riskier investments like yours, for example?
Well, it depends on your risk appetite, right? And the duration at the end of the day, right? But typically, when you think about it, right, you should always allocate not all your money just on cash, right? Let's say, for example, if you want to retire by the age of 60, for example, you've got another 12 years to go, right? Then you spread out your risk over 12 years and you think about, based on that goal-based return that you're thinking about that you want to retire with, how much returns do you want to generate every single year? And you work backwards based on that risk. And that's how we'll go about doing it. Because I can't really asset allocate for you. Now, we're working towards that and from a goal-based strategy. Maybe in the next 6 to 9 months, you hear about it.
Okay, we look forward to hearing some additional news.
And that was Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer of CIMB Principal. I am Tan Chung Han, and with me, Brian Fernandez, signing off for this week's episode of Ringgit and Cents right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.